For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday. Welcome to Take the Black Live. My name is Dan Selke, and I am the editor of Winters Internet. And this is Take the Black Live, the one and the only chat show on the internet where we, that is me and Daniel and our special guests and our other special guest, Coda the Cat, talk about all things fantasy, sci-fi, movies, television, stuff no one else on the internet has the cojones to tackle, but we are braving forth and somehow managing to do what no one else can. We have joined, as always, by Daniel Roman, the other co-host, editor of winterscoming.net. Hi, and who's your friend there, Daniel?
This is Coda. He's going to be crashing the stream today, most likely, as he does.
Cute.
But we have more special guest here than the cat. Like, you have to introduce Camilla.
I wanted to do it in a clockwise fashion. We're getting to it. And we also have on here Wick writer Camilla Cervello. Camilla, thanks for being with us today.
Hello. Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
We wanted to have you on just A, because for fun, and B, because you have seen, which we'll get to, you have seen advanced episodes of an upcoming show that you can give an early review to us, an exclusive early review. Looking forward to that. But first, let's do some easy kind of lighthearted nothing banter. How y'all doing?
Good. Doing good. Just enjoying the beautifully gray day outside.
I love it when it's beautiful and gray like that.
Yeah.
It is appropriately gross here as well. I am not good. I'm just gonna put that out there. I finished. Uh-oh. Okay, so I'll segue us into our first topic. Well, yeah, okay. Dan, something happened. So The Last of Us premiered this past weekend, and it was pretty great. But I did the slightly crazy type of thing that I am prone to doing, and I played the entire game over the weekend. A shell of a person today. Because is devastating. I'm not ready for it for the show.
Yeah,
it's been a while since I played it, and I know the big twists, but I think I'm far enough removed that they will still feel new to me. I guess that could be our first question for the panel and everybody who's watching. Hello, Nicole. Hello, Martha. Hello, Joanne. Good to see you all, Joanne.
Hello.
From
good
Sylvania,
morning, Julie.
Ohio. Oh, hello. Oh, hey, Julie. Good to see you too. And yes, at our new time, 2 p.m. CST. Thanks, Julie, for getting up a little earlier over there in Australia. I guess my question to you guys and to everyone watching, what did you think of The Last of Us premiere? Did it live up to expectations? Did it exceed? Was it below? Was it a faithful adaptation? And did you enjoy it? Did you like this new zombie HBO television show? Camilla, your thoughts?
Well, I, for one, absolutely loved it. I was dreading it a little bit because I didn't know the way, you know, like Resident Evil was done, and then you also have The Walking Dead and everything. Yeah. Like, it's very, there's a precedent there. And to me, in my opinion, it just blew it out of the water. I played the game back in 2003, I think. Yes. When it came out, when the first one came out, I don't know if it was
2013, I think it came out.
2013.
Sorry. Wow. I am
going to play 2003. I'm very impressed because that was some advanced notice. Yeah,
I'm actually a time traveler. That was an accident. but I played back in 2013, and it was an experience, as Daniel experienced this weekend. And I am just so excited to just see how they're going to handle everything. Because if they handle it the way that they handle this pilot, then this is going to be a really rough video game adaptation to follow.
I was not nervous because I had faith that if HBO was doing it, that if Craig Mazin, the guy who did the fancy schmancy Chernobyl show, was behind it, I really wasn't afraid that it was going to be bad. And it wasn't. You're right. The pilot is very nice. And I can say, I think this is, when we get into why, I've seen the first four episodes. The next three are all better. I really do believe that. I wasn't afraid because I was sure they were going to put their stamp of quality on it. I wasn't disappointed. I had some issues with the pilot, but overall I liked it a lot. Daniel, what did you think though?
I enjoyed it a lot. I didn't really have any big issues with it. I thought it was interesting, kind of the places that they chose to expand. So for those of you watching who maybe haven't played this game, there were a lot of line for line, quite a few scenes that were straight out of the game. You know, Joel's daughter, Sarah, telling him, "Oh, I sold hardcore drugs to afford this watch." That's from the game. Are a lot of just little lines like that all throughout the episode. That it was wonderful. But they also took more liberties, too, kind of expanding things that happened to characters who aren't Joel, because you play as Joel for most of the game. So it's hard. Mm-hmm. His
Pedro POV. Pascal.
So I liked it a lot. I'm definitely into it. And I'm not too surprised to hear you say that you liked episodes 2, 3, and 4 more than the premiere. I have not seen them. I'm very excited for them. But one thing we learned since the premiere came out is that it was actually 2 episodes that got mushed into one. Did it feel like that for you guys? Did it feel like just a seamless premiere? Could you tell it was 2 episodes?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I mean, sorry. Delay. you could tell because it was a lot of just it was like 3 chapters, I think. Mm-hmm. In the first game,
it was long,
so it was just a lot of stuff to cram into one pilot, and it was over. And I think it was like 1 hour and 14 minutes or something like that.
It was long.
Just judging from that, you could definitely tell that it was 2, and HBO was like, make it 1. And you know, it's not that that's a bad thing at all. It was very entertaining. I liked how they put everything together.
We will have tried to avoid talking about explicit spoilers because Julie said she's going to watch, but she couldn't watch it because her 8-year-old granddaughter was frightened of zombies because some of her friends at school told her they are real, you know, and there's no getting around that. So we'll try to avoid the really big spoilers.
Not to scare your grandchild, but these are extra real zombies because the thing it's based on is actually real.
Like that first prologue. Zombie show. How do you make zombies feel new? You know, because they've been done to death.
Yep. Yes.
Walking Dead was on for 11 years. It's got 30 spinoffs. It's got all the other zombie things we've seen over the years. How do you make it new? The story isn't so different from other zombie stories that that's the thing that's going to do it. The different thing about this is the HBO polish and the characters and the acting, like just the details of how it gets put together. I really like Pedro Pascal as Joel. And as to your question about 2 episodes, yes, it did feel that way. I think, who else said it? Nicole said it could have been 2 episodes.
Nicole.
and it made more sense than what was originally. Yeah, it did to me too. Like, basically, I really liked that first like 25 minutes with the Joel prologue and his daughter and the whole thing that ended with that. Oh, I was thrilled by that climax when they're going through Austin, like the plane falls out of the sky and it's like, oh my god, what's going on? And they were going everywhere, very chaotic. That was so good. And honest to God, the rest of it, I kind of felt like the air went out of the episode a little bit after that. And now we're just kind of talking about, here's the new world and here's the new setup and here's a girl chained to a thing in a room. And we're kind of, it kind of went from like upending the chessboard to like, and let's set the new pieces all up there. I could tell, like, this was episode two. It did feel like that to me. It was still very good. But frankly, I kind of wish they had kept it with just the first episode being all Joel prologue and maybe a bit of the next stuff, and then bringing Ellie into the second. But they wanted to have Ellie in there, which I get. But basically, it was a tragedy. It was horrible. It can't be redeemed. And the show is doomed to failure because they didn't, because they combined three episodes. And that's what I think. It was good.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It felt like Chernobyl a little bit, right, when it started, because you had the scientist talking. Yes, that just screamed out Chernobyl at me. I absolutely love that miniseries. And I love the fact that it was John Hannah. I'm a huge John Hannah fan because he was, in cool the Mummy franchise. That was great. I was pointing at the screen, all happy.
I think the talk show host was the guy from Silicon Valley, and that was like bugging me a little bit. But
I don't remember was the guy. Really? I was just focused on John and just what he was saying.
But
I loved that intro so much.
It was cool.
I love that intro so much. And I like it, because if it had been just the one episode, I think they would have cut it, you know, like when there's that decisive point where it could have been an end to the episode. I think they would have ended there, but like you said, they had to put Ellie in there somewhere. And I think, I don't think people, even though like the Joel backstory is cool and, you know, like it gives you more of a feel for the character.
Powerful.
Yeah. I think it just, I don't know. I would have ended it the way they ended it, to be honest, the first episode. Yeah. But curious to see what they put in two and.
Daniel, do you agree with Camilla, or are you correct?
I agree with Camilla. I will gladly be incorrect if that's what that means, but I think she's correct on this one. Yeah, I really liked the combination. I basically, the original episode, I think they even cut it together and screened it for HBO executives. It ended, so all the stuff with Sarah happens. There's the cut to 20 years later, and then that scene of Joel throwing the little kid's body in the fire. That was the end of episode one originally.
Yeah,
and the HBO execs were like, you have two children die in this episode and we don't see our leads meet. So maybe we need to get to the core of the story, which Neil Druckmann, who wrote the game, he's one of the showrunners, which I didn't realize he's like a legit co-showrunner of this thing.
Oh yeah, he's in there.
I love that. I love that. But he talked about how he used to quiz people at Naughty Dog, like, what's the inciting incident of The Last of Us? And people would be like, oh, easy, it's when Sarah dies. That launches everything. And he came back and was like, no, that's not actually it. It's Joel meeting Ellie. That's what starts the story. Sarah's just backstory. So we better understand why Joel is such a messed up individual by the time he meets Ellie.
That's what I was trying to say. That's exactly what I was trying to say of why I wouldn't have changed it, because people are there to see them two meet and like go from there. Backstory is backstory. That's great. Yeah. You can have flashbacks and everything at any time, but let's get our protagonists to meet, you know.
The backstory was so good. Just like the emotional point was Joel and his daughter, obviously, kind of. I'll just say it. The death. It was powerful. I was super, super into it. I think it would have been better if it had been a little closer to that, but I get why they did what they did. Robert Harris, by the way, says only thing that bothered me about Pedro as Joel was that his accent kept coming through. Not a huge, but very noticeable to me. His accent was interesting. I've watched the first four. Like, he does kind of like do a Texas thing. Every third line just kind of like comes out, but mostly it just like Pedro Pascal, which is fine.
I kind of wanted to say something to that, because as somebody who is not American and moved to this country and had to learn the language and had to develop my own accent and lose my accent, and now I'm not tell people I'm foreign, they're like, what? You don't sound foreign at all. That takes time. I don't know how long Pedro, I don't know Pedro's relationship with the English language at all. I'm not going to speak to it in any way whatsoever, but just saying from experience, like, it's really cool to watch somebody who is not, you know, that has this accent that can mask it very, very well for the role, because that's what acting is all about. You know, we're not there to focus on Pedro. We're there to focus on Joel and what he brings to the table as Joel. To me, he was excellent. He looked like him. He gave me the Joel vibes. I really enjoyed it. And I love it that sometimes there's that slip up. But I personally didn't hear the accent at all. So
I didn't hear the accent either. What I did hear is occasionally him doing a Texan accent. And then most of the time not, which was fine with me. Kind of endearing. I don't know anything else though.
I will say, I love Pedro Pascal in this role. I'm really curious how he's going to handle later stuff in the story. Now that I know some of the things Joel is going to do in this journey, I'm so curious to see what his acting is going to be like. But I will say, his accent never bothered me, but I did miss Joel's accent from the game. Just the tiniest bit, because Joel has like a very like,
is it more pronounced? Heavy,
it's a more pronounced like southern accent. He kind of gives off like a southern mountain man vibes quite a lot in the games, and I didn't get that quite as much in the show, but that's fine. Like, it's a different take on it, and the core of the character is still very much there. I mean, this was HBO's second highest premiere for a show since 2010.
Not bad.
Ranking only behind House of the Dragon. So I hope it does well. I'm really curious to see where it goes from here.
It'll do well. I think it's going to do quite well. Everybody, there was a lot of hype around it for a new series. And part of me thinks that we should bring up the whole, like, is it the best video game adaptation ever? And part of me is like, it's so reductive at this point. Like, I think video game adaptations have been pretty getting better for a while, and this is just kind of the next step. It is the best one, but it was always kind of going to be. I don't know. I wonder if you need to factor in live action. Yes, yes.
I think you need to factor in live action versus animation. Yeah,
but I can't speak to Arcane.
I agree with you. I think. Oh, so
yeah,
good.
Arcane is amazing.
Everyone loves
an amazing adaptation. But this, you know, like Daniel said, for a live action adaptation.
Oh yeah,
that's it. So far, this is it. And I really hope it wasn't just like, here's this amazing pilot in season 8 of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. The next episodes are very, very good. It helps that, like, the guy who made the game is here. Like, you can tell that they're invested. You can tell that they really care a lot about it. It just kind of comes through, as opposed to a Resident Evil or a Witcher, where they're like, well, they exist, but, you know, it's more of like a light blueprint. We just kind of change everything we want. It's really good, and I want to see more. I've seen 4 episodes. I want to see more. I still want to, and I assume people are going to come on with it. I wish it the best. Any other thoughts from any of you guys, either you two here with me or out there in comment land, about The Last of Us, the premiere or elsewhere? What are they looking forward to?
Just can't wait. Just can't wait.
I'm looking forward to seeing some clickers and some bloaters, which are the big guys, which we saw in one of the trailers. And I'm very excited to see how they're going to do bloaters in the show.
I do believe they got rid of, because I remember from the game, the ones that like kind of spread spores into the air, they did change it. So now it's not spores. You have to get bitten or touched like a normal zombie, which I don't really like. Tendrils. I kind of think the spores are fun because that's a little different. Like for zombies, it's always bites with zombies. Yep. And they did it so they don't have to wear gas masks, which is interesting because your lead actor is the Mandalorian who wears a mask the entire time. And you're saying, like, no gas mask. No. You can do it.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian proved you can cover the face of your lead actor the entire time and will love it anyway. I feel like you should embrace that. But whatever. I'll live.
I think the tendrils are one of the things I'm most curious to see how they're going to handle, because the spores. Gross. So, again, for people who haven't played, basically, you get infected by spores. It's a fungal infection. So you can breathe them in and that gets you. And they change that for the show. But there are a few points where, like, that becomes kind of I can say this, it's about the game, it's not a show spoiler.
Sure.
But the fact that Ellie can breathe in spores in the game is like one of the things that drives home that, oh, she is actually immune to this thing. So I'm curious, now that they've taken that out, how they're still going to get that point across, like to help Joel believe it, basically, that she's immune to the virus. Fungi.
Yeah, I keep saying fungi. Okay, here's a question. Can anybody pronounce the name of the fungus? Like
Cordyceps.
Oh, that's it. Oh, those are delicious.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Cordyceps. Yeah. And so this is an actual thing for those of you listening who maybe don't know about Cordyceps. I remember seeing this in a Planet Earth documentary like a decade ago. Them taking over the ants and growing out of their heads and controlling them. It's pretty hardcore. But yeah, show's great. Watch very, it if you haven't. Good, yeah. New episodes on Sundays.
As the honest Shakespearean says, I have been Cordyceps. Thank you, Nicole. I have been blown away how emotional and how much of an emotional core the story has. Haven't played the game, just in the first episode. Yeah, and I predict that because, as I said last week, this game is kind of not unique among games, but at least at the time, for being kind of like a movie already. Like it had all the things you need for a good TV show, and all the TV shows to do is just adapt it, and it shouldn't be much of a problem. It's not like I would love a good Resident Evil adaptation, but that's a very different topic.
That's never going to happen. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were talking. we need a good haunted house horror movie of the first game. That's, I feel like, yes, how you get it's started so on a Resident obvious. Evil. Make it nice and claustrophobic haunted house movie when they're stuck in a mansion.
I but would much this, rather right, see it, a... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No,
I would you much rather see a Silent Hill adaptation, like a true Silent Hill
they're making
adaptation
one.
Than
they made one.
You're kidding. No, well, I've making, seen the movies.
Right.
But
they're making a second movie based on the second game.
Ooh,
they announced the it game? A cool. couple months ago. Yeah, so that is something that's on the way. We don't have like Christmas a lot of details,
already?
But
is it already apparent- Christmas? Wow.
This is the happiest it gets in Silent Hill.
Yeah.
It's all going to be scary and terrifying from here. The thing about The Last of Us, though, is you're right in terms of like it feels like watching a show to play this game. So that's why, like, as opposed to something like Resident Evil or even Silent
Hill,
which
is a video game ass video game kind of story, it's Resident Evil. So that's why it's all awkward when it gets on the TV.
Yeah. Yes, but this one, they really can, like, HBO kind of just needs to get out of its own way a little bit, mm-hmm. with, like, some of the dialogue. Like, the writing is fantastic. It's better than most TV shows in the game. Yeah, so they can just bring, like, the lines over, and it's like, it works.
And they will. It's really good. You guys are going to love it. I'm looking forward to talking about it every week here. And I hope all of you who haven't watched it, watch it. And, this could be a really big new show for HBO. This could be a monster hit. I really do believe that. It's good enough. It's buzzy enough.
Absolutely.
It has enough attention. It's high profile enough. It's got like good enough actors. We could be talking Emmys. We could be talking. And then the door will open for other classy game adaptations. Although I'm not sure there are many games that are kind of in the league of so made for TV. We'll talk about that another time.
I mean,
Go on. Yes.
A Red Dead Redemption.
I was going to list a few. Red Dead Redemption could work. Gears of War could work.
Yeah.
Gears of War.
Someone's making that too. I don't know if it's Netflix.
Really?
Someone is, or I think it's Amazon. Someone is making a Gears of War show. God. Because
Mass
everyone
Effect
is,
would be interesting.
You know,
Mass Effect would be an easy.
That's another one. Amazon is reportedly considering making.
Please no.
So Jeff Bezos bought all Effect the is, dorky game stuff.
No.
He wants it.
It's impossible for me to think of how a Mass Effect show. That's a lot. That's a tall order to live up to, even more than something like The Last of Us. And that game is, it's in the same league in terms of the storytelling.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
So. I don't know how long we want to ramble about games. Do we want to ramble about Pedro Pascal instead?
Yes. Good transition. Speaking of Pedro Pascal and wearing a gas mask the entire time.
And helmets,
which again, they should have known. You can get away with it nowadays. Whatever. It's gone. They released the trailer for The Mandalorian season 3, which is coming out in March, I believe. Why don't we watch it and talk over it and give our comments, theories, advice, and insights, Richard?
Yeah,
if you would,
Camilla, if there are any spots you want to pause, shout out for them here, as we because you know your Star Wars stuff. So if you see any good Easter eggs that we might miss,
I'm looking forward to this. So, I do love the tone of the Mandalorian, man.
I'm just kidding.
Yes.
Got yeah.
A big old
it seems
wind tunnel.
I
just
yeah.
like. Okay. Actually, pause it on Grogu. Right there. Perfect. I will say, Camille, I'm curious what you think about this. I know what Daniel thinks about it. I do think it's lame that they air the Mandalorian season 1-2. They were nice. They were cool. They were good. And then they have important stuff happen in a whole other show. The Book of Boba Fett, Mando and Baby Yoda get back together.
I agree with you.
And then,
100%.
There's a whole lot of fans who are watchers and being like, wait, but I thought they were separated.
Yeah.
Like, Disney's trying to make
isn't,
you.
This isn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. They're trying to. I feel like they didn't have enough content with Boba Fett alone to do a good season of Boba Fett. So they had to be like, hey, what's another Mandalorian that they like? Oh, hey, Din Djarin.
I worry it'll hurt the show because it's so diffused now. But maybe they got the memo and this will just be a little more straightforward. Punch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got your cityscapes, got your Star Wars cityscapes, got your demons, got your aliens, got your little thing. Grief Karga. Love those names. Rain, sleet, or snow. The mail gets delivered. There they are. Fire, ladle to the grave.
Fire, ladle. I know there are shots of Coruscant coming up here.
Is that Coruscant or Mandalore? We're not going to Coruscant, are we?
That wasn't Coruscant. Coruscant is in this trailer somewhere.
Oh, yeah, put a pause on
it right there on that.
Yes, pause it.
Yeah, so that's Coruscant, which we haven't seen a whole lot of. Well, because it's the capital of the Empire / now defunct Empire. It's an important place in Star Wars history, and Disney really hasn't done a whole lot with it. Like, we saw more of it in Andor than anything else.
No, they don't do anything with it. They think Tatooine is the place to be.
Yeah, and Tatooine is supposed to be a backwater, so it's nice to see Coruscant get some love in this trailer. And also Mandalore. So, Camilla, what do we need to know about Mandalore? Because Mandalore is coming for, like, your elevator pitch short version of... For people who have been watching The Mandalorian, enjoying it, but have no idea of anything about Mandalore, like, what do we need to know going into season 3?
Well, going into season 3, this would be, I'm trying to think of, like, the timeline right now. Hold on. My brain is just tied into a knot. This is...
It's after... pre-episode 7.
No, it's
between
episode 7.
Yeah.
So at this point, Mandalore has been, like, I believe at this point it has been, like, destroyed or just damaged. And it was, I'm trying to remember everything. They had a big fight there over the Darksaber.
Which Din now has.
I think of all my... which Jin now has. So him bringing it in could be, you know, hey, this is our new leader because he has the Darksaber, you know, or somebody could challenge him and be like, that actually runs through my bloodline. Like, I'm the person whose father had it last, blah, 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 give it. Yep. You know, it could go a lot of different ways. Mandalore always makes me sad because it makes me think of Sabine and Kenobi and, you know,
that's fair.
That story was pretty sad over there, yeah. But just, you know, I'm curious to see how they're going to show it as of right now. I'm not up to date on, like, any current lore at this point. I've only seen, you know, I've seen the original Clone Wars and the, what's the other show's name? That's on
Rebels.
Disney. Rebels, thank you. Yes, Rebels. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's where my lore knowledge stops as far as, like, things that aren't really showcased. I haven't read the books, but I'm really curious to see how they're gonna present Mandalore at this point in time.
Kobe.
Or who's sitting, you know, who's in charge there? Is it Empire? Is it, you know, the Rebellion, or is it just, you know, maybe a rogue Mandalorian who wants the saber and can't get it because Din has it?
That'd be fun. Yeah, I mean, I imagine that's going to, a large part of the season is probably going to revolve around this because they set it up during, I guess, season 2. Oh, yeah. He has the Darksaber now. Is Sabine Katie Sackhoff? Am I thinking of the right person?
Yeah.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
Wait,
so...
No, Sabine. Wait. Hold on.
Well, Katie Sackhoff is not very pleased about it. So I'm curious to see.
Oh, no. She's, what is her name? She's not Sabine. She's Bo-Katan.
There we go. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That's Bo-Katan. Sabine is, like, forever ago. Like, before like, Clone Wars era. So.
What are these names? Should we... Yeah. Should we wrap up the trailer?
Yeah, let's do it.
Punch it, Chewy. Oh, there's Iroh from left there. Brenda. Oh, you get the helmet.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's big, right?
Oh, yeah, you got a whole bunch of... You got to pause for Order 66.
Are those Jedi's?
That's Order 66.
How do you know?
Yeah, because we saw the same scene in... I think it might have been Boba Fett from Grogu's point of view. You see Grogu's point of view during Order 66,
yes.
But we don't know who rescued him from the Jedi Temple. So presumably, we're going to see how Grogu got out of the Jedi Temple during Order 66.
That's cool.
I think that's not like here.
A new scene. This is going to be a flashback. Okay, good. I was a little like, Star Wars, you know, noob that I am, not noob, but like untutored, I'm like, wait, that looks important. Okay.
Yeah.
They gotta give that fan service. They gotta give you that spice of fan service. But in a flashback, even I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Punch it. Oh, that looks so good. They spent some money on it, man.
Those tie bombers?
I do not know.
It looked like some of them.
I know that it looks fantastic. I mean, a whole like chase with spaceships through a canyon is money kind of stuff. So you know they're going whole hog on this. I just really Grogu is advancing.
Grogu's coming out.
Oh my god. Grogu is just the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. I love it.
They were sort of halfway a little bit teasing like evil Grogu. They were, you know, in season two, there was Boba Fett were like, you can't leave or else you won't be bound with the Force. That'd be cool. I'd be down for a villain Grogu.
Seth Grogu.
Yeah. Seth
Grogu is the season four villain.
I would absolutely love that.
Grogu is Snoke.
Yes. Surprise.
Yeah, I'd watch that. By the way, question.
I'd love it if Grogu got like a little black hood.
It's the crime fight or the crime hoodie from House of the Dragon.
Yeah. Like Aemon's got.
Crime hoodie. That's not good.
Or it's great for us. I'm excited for the show. I am concerned that Disney is going to try to do a thing where they make you, because I'm afraid that the Boba Fett shenanigans isn't the end of this spreading stuff around. Because I know they want to connect up with the Ahsoka show. I know they want to like link it into that. They had the Gina Carano show, but that was unceremoniously canceled. So I think they're going to try and link it all up. I hope it goes smoothly because I would.
Yeah.
I just like The Mandalorian so much that first season. I wish it would just sit on that path, but I guess too much to hope. They want their shared universe and they will have it. And I just hope that they can do it in a way that is still fun to watch moment to moment. Doesn't depend on me having seen everything you put out because maybe some of these shows I don't want to watch.
Yeah.
So just give them what I got. But we'll see when it comes out in early March, pretty soon.
Yeah. I hope they do a better job. If they are going to connect them, I hope they do a better job than they did with Boba Fett.
That's my one hope. That was a bad idea. Yeah, me too.
No, that was really sad. I know Boba Fett's my husband's favorite character, and he was just not happy about that show.
I mean, it's a cool character. Yeah. But
it's kind of ironic. They've almost replaced what Boba Fett used to be with the Mandalorian
work.
Yeah.
Because taking his helmet off every episode, trying to make him relatable, like that's fine. But like Boba Fett was cool because he was the enigmatic character who you could never see under the helmet,
exactly. Who
was kind of mysterious.
And he was a bounty hunter. He wasn't a good guy who did things for good.
He is a sweetheart with a heart made of light. And he loves kitty cats and rainbows. And he always has. I'm also just, it's still kind of mind-boggling to me that The Mandalorian is the only show to get this memo about covering up your actors' faces and giving them that mystique and having it work. Like, how is no one else brave enough to do that? No one else at Disney is brave enough to do that. Like, they didn't even do it with Boba Fett's show. It's kind of amazing how The Mandalorian is the only one who actually has the guts to follow through. And I love it for that. Yeah. I'm sure it'll keep up. The last episode wasn't brave enough to do
and
it.
It's partially, Pedro Pascal talked about that he was partially able to do The Last of Us because The Mandalorian does that. Because he's, you know, there are multiple people who play Din Djarin on that show. Yeah, it's not Pedro in the suit in every single scene. So that enabled him to go do something for a rival network, which, you know, he had to compliment Disney for being very generous for letting him go do that. But yeah, it is interesting that we haven't seen anyone else try that.
If The Last of Us had gas masks, he could have done a third thing. He could have been doing it on three big shows right now. But
that's
he had to move himself to two.
That's right.
He could be in Rings of Power season two.
Totally could. It's an elf. Elf Lord.
Yep. Oh,
anyway,
God.
Speaking of big shows on the horizon, on right now, there's another show coming up this month, I believe this Friday. Camilla, tell us what we need to know about the second season of Vox Machina on Amazon Prime Video.
It is.
What is it
so
to start?
Good.
Like, what's the show?
The Legend of Vox Machina season two mm-hmm. is twice as better as season one.
Nice.
It is. It keeps up with, okay. you know. Vox Machina is very funny. It relies on like funny lines or just funny like expressions on their faces or funny situations, and it just gets better on season two. Like it's great. It also it's a very emotional season, which you know
okay.
it catches you off guard a little bit. Sorry, it catches yes. Sorry.
It's like just what is the show? Like, what is it? It's an animated show about D&D.
So it's an animated show that's based off of Critical Role's Dungeons and Dragons campaign called The Legend of Vox Machina. It aired in between 2015 to 2017. That's when it concluded. It was their first campaign, and that ultimately launched Critical Role as a like solid streaming show, mm-hmm. You know, but Dungeons and Dragons show, mm-hmm. D&D show. It's fantastic because they're all voice actors who get together and one's the DM and he is a fantastic DM. It's
his
just
long hair.
It's amazing watching him DM. Like it's just great. What?
He has long hair. That's what I know about him.
He does have very pretty long hair. I love his hair. Mm-hmm. But he's a very nice guy too. Elvin, yes, he could play it off. But he's got it's great because he does all the NPCs and the monsters and everything during love the stream. It's not the case in the show. You know, they have different voice actors
right,
for
actors.
Different characters, but he still does some. And it's just his range is incredible. And mm-hmm. just the range and dedication of all the other voice actors as well. Like we have Grog and Scanlan on the screen right now. Those two, they're amazing. Every single one of these characters you get to see in like kind of a different light this season. Lots of things happen. I was very happy myself because two of my favorite, I guess, like, NPCs/entities/monsters from D&D are actually in season two, and I was very happy with the presentation of both of them. One in particular, nice. I don't want to spoil, so I'm not going to say what it is. But I was very happy, and I couldn't shut up about it while I was watching. I was like, "This is so good! Like this adaptation of this thing is just so good, so good." It's like I said, it's very emotional. It's very violent. The pilot is very heavy.
Which you wouldn't necessarily think looking at it, right? Because you're going to see these like kind of smiley, jokey characters, but it gets intense.
Right. But if you remember where we left in season one, it was Sovereign Uriel was giving the speech saying, you know, I failed as a leader. I let these people in and, you know, they just almost destroyed everything. That was very responsible. Thank you, Vox Machina. I quit, you know, kind of like that thing. Mm-hmm. And he notices dragons coming down, and it's literally that they replay those few seconds and the scene keeps going. So it's like no time goes by. You just pick up right where you left off, and it's heavy. It's a good one though. Yeah, it's brutal, but it's very good. I don't know what else to say. And this has been really hard. I have a really hard time keeping my mouth shut about things that excite me. And so I couldn't talk to anybody about this. So all I could do was write insane notes and rewatch everything over and over until I basically memorized every episode. That was the way to get it out of my system. Yeah. But no, it's fantastic. Everybody. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. It's this Friday. And we had one comment from A Story Whispered. You can agree or disagree with this. He says that as someone who has seen all the Critical Role live streams, I'm pleased to hear the emotional moments come through. I think they do. They sell
there
them.
There is one. I knew it was coming. And, you know, I'm sure A Story Whispered, as somebody who has seen the live stream as well, can kind of like predict what's coming up. Something happens and I knew it was coming and I wasn't expecting to be emotional about it, but the way there's just something different about watching something unfold instead of having something told to you and you have to imagine it.
Right. Yeah.
And the way that they presented that, tears.
Your very passion. Yeah. Nice. Your passion has me looking forward to it. I watched the first season and I liked it. I haven't watched Critical Role stuff, but I'm intrigued and excited, especially now that I hear how much you liked it. It should be good. And it's this Friday, right?
Oh yeah, it is. It's this Friday. I don't know when I'm assuming at like 12:01 a.m. Yeah, they're gonna midnight, drop them. 1 a.m. something like that. Yeah, they're going to drop up 3 episodes at a time. So we get episodes 1 through 3 Friday. Next week we get 4 through 6 and then 7 through 9 and then 9 through 12. So it's 4 weeks of 3 episodes a week.
It's definitely a cool thing. I'm not sure that we've seen done before where, you know, you adapt books, you adapt games, you adapt, I don't know, mostly those two things. But adapting a live Dungeons and Dragons campaign to an animated adventure it sounds pretty unique, and it seems like it's been a success so far.
It's great, and I'll tell you, like as a player, I've played D&D since I was 11. I actually have D&D tonight, but I've played it since I was 11. You know, I play it all the time. I'm in 3 different campaigns, whatever. So like, I love it. It is one of my hobbies that I treasure very much. And being able to watch an adaptation of a story being told by 7 extremely created and talented voice actors being guided by, you know, the ultimate DM, but, you know, they're making everything up as they go. And and that's where you get the dialogue and that's where you get all the base for Vox Machina. It's improvised in the live stream. And to have that, and to have it work so well, you know, sure, they may change something here and there, which of course, they do stray out of the, they do change some things in season 2, but it's okay. I like what they did. I like what they've changed. I think it works very well. It was very easy to follow. But, you know, you're going to have these changes and everything. But for the most part, it's you know, you're watching and listening to what actually happened while they were playing it live. And that's a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's a very cool way to get some creative people and have their work highlighted in a way that it can expose a lot more people through Jeff Bezos' benevolence.
Yeah.
Daniel, does this have you intrigued to watch it? Did you watch the first season?
I didn't watch the first season. I have seen a couple of episodes of Critical Role and I enjoyed them. So it's just a matter of, you know, only so many hours in the day. So I'm intrigued. I don't know if I'm going to jump on it immediately, but I feel more like I should after this conversation because it sounds awesome. It's a
good endorsement.
Because the episodes are about I think they're like 30 minutes or less. If you skip the end credits,
it goes quick.
And there's 12 on the first season. What you could do is you could pick, you know, a time where, you know, it's good to sit and just watch TV and watch all 12 first ones and then watch the first season two right after it, because it's just
continues.
I mean, played the entirety of The Last of Us in one weekend. It's not like you can't find some time.
Yeah, you can handle 6 hours. You can handle 6 hours of Vox Machina.
Well, it's 6 hours of Vox Machina on top of however many hours The Last of Us took. I had to prioritize.
But this next week.
I'm also more... Yeah, oh, okay, maybe. I'm more intrigued, too, because I didn't realize this till I was watching Critical Role last night. Ashley Johnson, who voiced Ellie in The Last of Us, is one of the people in Critical Role. She plays Pike.
Cool. Yeah, she plays Pike.
Yeah,
Pike, who also goes by girl. Pickles.
She's the little. Yes, she is. She's the gnome
healer.
On her holy path. Yeah,
very cool. I didn't realize that.
So that's cool.
Has work all over the place.
It's awesome. Awesome.
As we forge on to according to a story where Troy Baker is in season two of Vox Machina 2.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Played Joel in The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah.
They're also in The Last of Us, those two. The show that they'll both turn up. But not quite yet.
Yes. Yeah, and Troy Baker also, HBO is doing another podcast like it did for House of the Dragon, except it's The Last of Us podcast. Troy Baker's the host of it, which is pretty cool.
That's nice.
So it's Joel from the game chatting with people from the show.
They have stood by their old actors.
That's amazing.
All right. We are coming up on to our folks. So why don't we quickly go around the table and say what else we're watching before getting to our weekly lightning round. Daniel, you watching anything else beyond The Last of Us and such?
Not really. The Last of Us. I played The Last of Us. That was a lot of my time. I also read this book, The Sapphire Altar by David Dalglish.
Look at you reading.
I fit in a book. It was a really great read. Very much. It's the closest thing to like a Final Fantasy that I've ever read in book form.
Nice. I'd like
so there's lots of party dynamics, you know, people adventuring, lots of deific stuff, deities going awry. Really enjoyed it. But that's what I've been up to this week. What about you, Camilla? What have you been watching aside from Vox Machina?
Deific.
Just kidding. I obviously watched The Last of Us, and it was great. A lot of Vox Machina. I'm trying to remember. My brain does this amazing thing called the wipe all your memories from like a week and start fresh. So it's hard for me to remember things. But I haven't really... I've watched a lot of Critical Role because I'm trying to catch up with the latest campaign. And not this past week, but this past month, in like month or two, I reread Fire and Blood, which I love that book. And I can reread that forever. And I started to read The Silmarillion, but I haven't finished it yet. And it's a little hard to
it is.
Keep up with it. Back to the whole I'm foreign and English isn't my first language thing. Tolkien's vocabulary and like how he writes is a little tricky to figure out when you're reading. So slowly pasting among that. So that's it.
That whole book is a big hill to climb, but and at the end of it you don't even get much of a reward, but it's still good. I've been watching, I finally got Apple TV Plus because I wanted to watch For All Mankind the rest of it. Nice. And I'm watching that. It is really good. It lives up to the hype. It's a great historical fiction show. I can't wait to watch more, talk about it more here. We're also started to watch Chainsaw Man, which is the big new anime of 2022. Nice. I kept hearing about it. I wanted to see it. And it's good. It's good. Kind of. It's it's a pretty anime, so it's like wild off the wall, weirdly funny and violent, kind of married together in places you wouldn't expect, but it's good. It's fun. And For All Mankind is great. And I've been reading Time of Contempt because I can read too. I'm fully literate.
Enjoy that, Witcher. That's a good one.
Thank you. Thank you. Pat yourself in the back.
Yourself in the back.
Exactly. Thank you. Should we go on to our final segment, the Witness Lightning Round?
Yeah, we're coming up on the hour. We should probably lightning.
Let's hit it. First prompt. Guardians of the Galaxy director and new DC Studios president, James Gunn, swats down rumors that Superman has been cast. It was rumored to be Jacob Elordi, but it's not. They haven't cast anybody. Superman's actorless. Who wants in?
Yep. I think it's, you know, James Gunn, I can't decide if I love that he's so publicly responding or if it makes me worried. Maybe a little bit of both. But basically, there were rumors they had cast Superman, and then he just tweeted and was like, nah. We haven't cast anyone for that. I'm still writing it. We're not even close to considering casting.
Which, of course.
So, no Superman quite yet, which is fine. All right, Camilla, this is an Avatar one. So, Loak, who was the son of Jake Sully and Neytiri, is going to replace Jake Sully as the narrator for Avatar 3. How do you feel about that?
I will tell you the truth, I have no feelings on this one because I haven't seen Avatar 2 yet. I saw Avatar 1 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't remember anybody's names. So once I sit down and watch Avatar 2, I will have a proper opinion on it, but I got buzzed.
Blue people.
Blue people. Not the Blue Man Group. All right.
Maybe next time.
Dan.
I'd watch that.
Me too, actually. China lifts years-long ban against Marvel movies. Set dates for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. The last movie played there was 2019's Spider-Man Far From Home. How do you feel about that?
It's pretty cool. I mean, so China, you know, authoritarian state, they just kind of, if they don't want movies in there, they just say, you don't get in here, you don't get in here. And to this day, no one knows fully why. I know that like Shima Liu and Chloe Zhao said some bad stuff about Chinese government, and they just banned Marvel movies for years afterwards. But apparently the box office was so bad last year, they let him back in. And there we go. I should have gotten more to the point. All right. Daniel.
I think you got it across.
No, I have more opinions about the Chinese government, the CCP. Daniel, here's a cool one. Stephen Colbert, late night show talk show man, is adapting one of George R. R. Martin's favorite book series, The Chronicles of Amber by Roger Zelazny, for television.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. So The Chronicles of Amber, I haven't read it. It's a classic sci-fi series from like the 70s. It's like 10 books long. Martin loves it. He's been preaching from the hilltop about this series forever. And Stephen Colbert's a giant nerd, and he wants to help get this thing made. So that's cool. I hope it goes well. We can always use more good sci-fi series.
Stephen Colbert actually played D&D with the Critical Role people.
Not surprised.
Not surprised at all.
It's great.
That's awesome.
It's fantastic. You should look it up. It's fantastic.
All right, Camilla, I'm going to read to you about The Penguin, I think. So The Penguin spinoff on HBO Max is due to start filming soon, and it is going to tie, speaking of shared universes, will directly set up the Batman sequel. How do you feel that you'll have to watch The Penguin to know what's up in the Batman 2?
I won't have to watch The Penguin because I haven't seen a DC movie since Christopher Nolan's Batman movies because I don't like DC.
Fair enough.
I am not a DC person whatsoever. But literally Christian Bale's Batman, and you know, like I even like Batman Forever, but you know, I got buzzed.
More understandable.
But you get the gist of it. Yeah.
It's fair.
Let's see. All right. Dan, Mm-hmm. I don't know how into anime you are, but Attack on Titan's final season will air in two chunks, the first starting on March 4th, the second later this year. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you?
10, actually. Attack on Titan is a big deal. Attack on Titan's been on for like 10 years. It is the breakout anime of the past decade. It is the absolute one. Chance of making nothing on it. It's really bold. The show's very ambitious. It's I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad they're gonna to drive it home. I'm not like an anime freak, but I like it. I watch like the big ones. I watch Attack on Titan. I'm excited to see how it wraps up. Good on Attack on Titan. Daniel, woo, look at all the thing going on. Daniel, okay. Daniel. TNT will not air the fourth and final season of Snowpiercer, even though they're already done with production. They just said no, so they're shopping around.
Yeah, I Warner hate Bros. That this Discovery has become a trend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is Warner Bros. Discovery. This is another TNT, potentially Zaslav thing. They own TNT. They already filmed Snowpiercer. It's the last season. It's already done with post, I think. Or done enough that it should be airing, and they decided they're not going to do it. What an awful trend. There's nothing good about this, in my opinion.
Yeah, for all the people who work.
Yeah,
on it,
networks. Yeah, canceling shows that are already done is a super bummer. Here's one that's not terrible. Here's a not bummer story. So Jeremy Renner, who played Hawkeye in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, he is home now from the hospital after a bad snowplow accident that left him in critical condition earlier this month. Camilla, any thoughts on this one? Jeremy Renner is super out happy of the hospital.
Super happy. I really like him. I enjoy his movies and him as a person, and I'm just happy that, you know, it wasn't anything too bad. I think he got like ran over by thing actually ran him over, and like almost, I don't remember what it was, but it was like some serious injury that almost happened. But I'm happy.
That's pretty rough. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Wish him well.
Last one
is Una Chaplin to Lisa Stark will play a major villain in Avatar 3, Varang, leader of the Ash People. Oh my God, I can't read. Leader of the Ash People, Navi.
Yep, more Avatar stuff. Talisa,
leader of the Fire Nation.
The Red Wedding of the, everything changed when the Ash People attacked. That's nice that Rob Stark's wife, who, by the way, Una Chaplin, Charlie Chaplin's granddaughter, very neat. That's cool. A classy Nepo baby. Is going to be the villain of the next Avatar movie, which is good because those movies make billions of dollars. So I'm sure she'll get paid, which she definitely needs. All right. And that's for everybody. We've gone a little bit long, but it's worth it. We have thanks so much for Camilla to coming on here. So much fun. Come on, whatever you like.
Thanks for having me.
It was a delight.
Awesome. Thank you.
Anytime.
Thanks for watching. I know some people in the comments are saying that we have a new time. And I am sorry. We've changed times. We're at 2 p.m. CST. Christian, thank you for said he scheduled his flight so I could watch you guys.
Dedication, Christian.
Oh wow, we
appreciate you.
Our videos are archived on YouTube and Facebook. Also, find us in podcast form on Google Play, iTunes, where podcasts are available. We'll be back next week at 2 p.m. going forward. More talk, more discussion at 2 p.m. CST, 3 Eastern. Mark it into your brains.
That's right.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.
Take care.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.